I have no business on Amazon.com. They require money, of which I have little. Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome back to the table. I am your host, Cody Dewitt, and sitting across the table from me today is someone who I just so happen to know personally, Alyssa Osborne. Hello, Alyssa.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm slightly stressed. No, I'm not. That's not true.
Same.
How cool would it be if your last name was like Osborne? Have you ever thought about that?
No.
Alyssa Osborne?
No. I've heard Osborne.
Osborne.
I've heard the stereotypical, are you related to Ozzy Osborne?
That's a thing? People ask you that?
Yeah. In New Mexico, like, oh, wow, haha, Ozzy Osborne. I'm like, haha, you're so original.
Because there's no other Osbornes that you could possibly be related to.
Exactly.
Well, I want to start off today's episode by letting it be known that this is not an interview. This is going to be a conversation. And it's going to be a conversation about science.
Science.
It's going to be, well, I don't know. You like science.
I adore science.
And this was your idea.
Sort of.
That I agreed to. Because it's going to be great. Now, we both have... you still have your list? I see it. There it is.
I do. I have a few things.
So we both have our lists, and I really don't know what to do other than say ladies first. So bring up your first scientifical topic.
Well, I guess I could talk about the speed of light.
The speed of light.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this. When I was in college, our professor proposed a very interesting question. Now, keep in mind, I was in electrical college, and he asked the question, which do you think is faster, the speed of power or the speed of light?
The speed of light, because the speed of light is the universal speed limit. Nothing can go faster than the speed of light.
Nonsense. Roadrunner. Roadrunner, like Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner? Oh, you don't know about that.
I mean, I sort of do.
Well, whatever. We're off to a wonderful start. Okay, so the speed of light, tell me about it.
Well, it's 180-something.
180-something? Is that a fact?
I believe it's 180 million miles an hour, approximately.
I can't even...
Let me look it up. Let's see.
I can't even think. You can't even imagine something like that.
No, you can't.
By the way...
And what's even better is that you hear people talk about the Milky Way galaxy and how it's like so many light years across.
Yeah.
So it takes light, the fastest thing in the universe, years, decades, to span the Milky Way.
That's crazy. And like, by the way, Emily is here. Emily Cates, who was on the last episode, took a week off. Had plans, didn't work. So yeah, she was on the last one, and she's here. She may or may not be heard. She has her opinions. Some of them are opposing to ours, as we've found out already. We're going to get into that. But right now, we're talking about light. Now, this is fascinating because when you flip a light switch, light is just there, and it just you don't really see it travel like into the darkness and push it away. It's just instantly there. So the thought of something like light traveling, like, you know, like it has a destination that it's getting to, and it taking it a while to do that, mm-hmm. is crazy.
Oh, here it is. The finite speed of light is 186,000 miles a second.
186,000 miles a second.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
But see, the speed of light, this just came to my mind. I watched a video on it. I don't know how long ago. But when you look up into the night sky, you see stars, right?
Yeah.
But each star is a different distance from Earth. And so the light takes different times to reach us, right? So you're really looking at a patchwork of time when you look up at the sky. Okay. Now get this. So we're in this room right now. Light still takes time to travel. It's very little time, but it still takes time to travel. So are you looking at things in the past? Like, the light from here to that sign. Yes, I see the sign, but the light coming to my eyes is nanoseconds delayed. So are we always looking into the past? Are we ever really seeing things the way they are?
I mean, of course. Don't you know this? That is crazy. Like, and see, another thing, like, going off on that, what is light?
Photons.
Photons? Elaborate.
Teeny tiny little, they're light. Photons are both a wave and a particle. That's what makes them so unique. because they behave, they're particles that behave like waves. Like there's, when you see, I'm trying to think.
That would be helpful.
When you see like a spectrogram, not a spectrogram, but there's a light wave and you can tell how far it is. The rainbow.
Love rainbows.
The rainbow.
God made the rainbow.
The color, I mean, light is a photon. Photon is a particle. But when you look at the rainbow, it's broken down into different wavelengths. The longest wavelength is red. The next is orange. The next is yellow. And the shortest wavelength is violet.
So is it true that, like, with different colors, it's because of, like, the different reflections of, you know what I'm talking about? I've heard it said that there really are no colors. It's just the different reflections of light off of a certain object, our brain interprets it as that color.
Yeah, is because that true? Like your shirt is reflecting, it's absorbing every light except for purple. And so the purple is reflected back to my eyes, and that's why I see that your shirt is purple.
Spoiler alert, I'm wearing a purple shirt. I am. See, that when I first heard that, I was like, my first response, I was like, nonsense. Things that are red are red. And things that are green, guess what? They're green. It has nothing to do with light. And then as I got, you know, you get older and you hear these things, it's like, wow, like, what was that? Did you hear that? It was a notification on my laptop there. Oh, well, Amazon.com. I have
don't
no
want you right now.
I have no business on Amazon.com. They require money, of which I have little. But yeah, like I heard that, and at first I really didn't accept it. But I kind of don't have a choice now because I've heard it from multiple sources, most of which are much more smarter than me, which isn't saying a whole lot. Okay, so the speed of light. So you would say the speed of light is faster than the speed of power.
Yes.
Now, the argument that was made in class, I'm gonna hit you with this, is, and I hesitate to say it because I feel like you're going to laugh at me, but hear me out, is that the argument that was made is that power was faster because in order for, you know, speaking in the sense of like an actual light bulb, you flip the switch, power must reach where it's going in order for light to be produced. So therefore, the speed of power was faster than the speed of light. Now, it was kind of just left up in there. You know, we all agreed to disagree.
That's interesting.
But it makes you think, doesn't it?
It does make you think.
Like, power had to get to the light bulb in order for the light to be produced. So the speed of power, if you think about it that way, is just faster than the speed of light. But then again, you could also look at it as that speed of power to get to the light bulb, that was one thing. Now, when the light bulb received that signal, did the light move faster than the power did?
Yes, because light is the fastest thing in the universe.
So, I mean, there you go. There's that, I guess. We've talked for almost 9 minutes about light. This is
it
going
was very
to be
enlightening.
Oh, no.
The first of many.
Now, for people that don't know Alyssa, she is quite punny. She is a lover of puns and a deliverer of puns. And,
I'm the Punisher. Oh.
And if you don't like puns, you're not going to like this episode.
Nope.
I completely understand. But we enjoy puns, and I'm not going to apologize for that. Are you?
Mm-mm.
Okay,
nope.
Good. Now, let's see. I don't even have my list out. Shows how. Okay. Now, see, this is what's hilarious. You bring up the speed of light. The first question on my list. The first question on my list. Is water wet?
Yes.
You what? No.
Oh, wait. No, water is not wet.
You said no. Oh, my goodness. Now, a while ago, we brought this up, and Emily, who is still in the room, I presume, she says yes. I say no.
Here's the issue with water is wet, okay? I have it pulled up on my phone. Hang on.
Oh, dear. She has notes that she's referencing
prepared
on these.
Well, because I may not be the smartest person in the room, but I'm if I can be the one willing to look it up and find out the answer, then I will become the smartest
person. Who is
person
the smartest person in this room? It's not me.
It's probably Emily.
It's between you and Emily.
It's probably Emily because she knows a lot about like chemistry and stuff. But really, like, to say that somebody is smart, what are you measuring them against? Like,
you're only as smart as the one who is the people who understand you.
Exactly. Like, so you, that's like judging a fish on its ability to climb a tree. It's not gonna, it's not
fish
gonna.
Can't climb trees. Now that I do know. but I know what you're saying. I've actually used that before. Here's my argument for why water is not wet. Wet, now this is without me looking anything up. This is just like me using logic that I somehow have. Wet is a condition that happens once something has been exposed to what is known as water. So the water in itself is water, and contact with that is what makes something wet. Just like fire is not like fire is not heat. Fire is fire, but it generates heat. Water generates wetness. So, right? Maybe not.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that fire is not heat.
Fire is hot, but fire is not heat. Heat is its own separate thing, right? But now, because fire is hot, but so is something else. You know, electricity is hot, but it's not heat.
Yeah, I guess if we're talking about in the context of like a campfire, then it would just be the combustion of wood.
Right.
So
it generates heat, but it is not heat.
And, you know, the answer that I just found, it goes along the same lines. It says...
Wait, with what I said?
No, with water is not wet.
Oh, okay.
It says... wet has a meaning for which we give it. We could say water is... Oh, wait, no, that's not it. Basically, all of these are saying the same thing. Wet is when you pour water on, like, this table, and...
Nothing special about this table, by the way. It's just a water.
You leave it alone. It's nice. It's trying its best.
I mean, it's accomplishing what it's set up to do.
It is trying its best.
We just sometimes, you know, comment on the status, you know, of which table we're at, and this is just a table. It's just one of those. White. Anyway, continue. This table is not wet, by the way.
No, but like if I pour this, you know, cup of Mountain Dew onto the table, which I won't do because of the equipment.
That would be frowned upon.
Then the table would be wet. So, but to say like the ocean is wet.
The ocean is not wet.
Because you couldn't remove the water.
Right. But if you go into the ocean and then come out, you are wet. Exactly. Because you were exposed to the water that is not wet.
Mm-hmm. And then when you come out, the water dries, and you are no longer
and
wet.
And you are no longer wet. Exactly. Because water is now absent, mm-hmm. like, to that degree. What is
Quit
Emily?
Quit shaking your head, Emily.
Emily, your argument is invalid. Well, it's like ministers always say, I got the mic. So we got the mic. We are correct. What's the next thing on your list?
The next thing on my list is... The Alcoupier Drive.
The who?
Which is, I was just writing random things down, so.
Oh, I understand. I wrote down a few random things myself.
Basically, I was watching, one of the channels that I watch on YouTube is PBS Spacetime. Now, a lot of their stuff, you kind of have to weed through it because they're the stereotypical science.
Yeah.
The world science, I should say.
65 billion years ago, this happened.
Yeah, exactly. I got you. But, and one of the things that I enjoy is not only like physics, but theoretical physics, you know, like quantum physics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And what this video was about was if humanity had to suddenly pack up their bags and head for the star, for the nearest star, which is, I think, in the Centauri system. I don't know. It's the nearest star. What means of travel could we use that could be both cost effective and available as soon as possible?
Corvette.
Sure.
A Corvette on a ramp or a Tesla. Elon has already done it. He sent the Tesla up into space. So yeah.
Could the Tesla, was it just floating or was it driving?
Yes. I saw an article, not trying to get off topic, but related to Tesla. I saw an article that I believed it for a moment, and it was obviously fake. But it said Tesla that Elon sent up into space falls down and lands on, and it had the person's name and picture that it had killed.
Wow.
Yeah,
person. I hate.
And I'm like, that did not happen. It would be everywhere, and
exactly.
I mean, it was obviously fake, but yeah, I saw that.
I hate fake news articles, because you'll always have some people that are just like, did you see this happened? And I'm right. Sitting there going, no, that's not true.
There are not lizard people living under Manhattan.
Exactly. And there's not a bug that when you touch it, you'll get holes all over your
hand. Water is not wet. Anyway, back to what you were talking about.
One of the ways that we could possibly get to the nearest star is called the Alcubierre Drive. Highly theoretical. But basically, the spaceship uses black holes as propulsion. Mm. You take two lasers and you focus them on one spot to create a black hole. And you just keep, and you have to make the black hole a certain radius, because black holes evaporate through a process called Hawking radiation. Basically, each time the black hole eats something, it spits energy out, and more of it comes out. That's the simplified version.
Thank you for that.
You can't make the black hole too big, because it would swallow everything and destroy the ship. And you can't make it too small, or else it'll evaporate too quickly. You have to make it just right. And then the Hawking radiation that it gives off can be harnessed and propel the ship. Now, it's theoretical, because to create a black hole, you'd have to make the lasers to make the black hole. And how are you going to make the lasers? Because you would need some ridiculously powerful lasers. But it's still interesting to think about it. Like, my ship is being driven by a black hole.
Here's what's wrong with me.
What did you do with your life?
here's what's wrong with me is the whole time you were talking about that, I was listening. I heard what you said. But the thought that was in my mind was, but we still can't edit tweets. And we still can't cure.
That's why it's theoretical.
The common cold.
Because.
So, you know, so it's like, yeah, it's cool to think about, but.
I still can't play music on YouTube and close the app.
YouTube Red.
I don't have the money.
I understand. I'm just saying that is possible. Editing tweets is not
possible.
And there used to be this app called ProTube. It was quickly banned from the App Store. Well, I say quickly. It was actually there for years. But you could use YouTube and close it, and it would still play. But, yeah, you can do that on YouTube Red. It's one of the perks.
The YouTubers didn't like that.
YouTube didn't like that.
The free.
YouTube did not like that. I mean, obviously, I don't know all the details to it, but I know that YouTube basically sent documentation to this young man that developed it and was like, hey, you have this long to take it down or else, you know, legal things.
Corporations are always losing the fun. It's not like people have jobs tied to it or anything.
Yeah, there's that. But on the flip side, it's like, what did you think was going to happen, you know, eventually?
Yeah.
So I see both sides of it, but... anyway, what were we talking about? Black holes. Black holes are a thing. Now, go ahead.
My dad, we were talking about this the other day.
Yes.
And he said something that kind of threw me for a loop. Black holes are technically still a theory.
I'm fascinated by that. Because black holes are, like, they are a thing, right?
Well, see, the thing nowadays with the science community is wording. Okay, now you can't say the whole thing was because they were like evolution this, evolution that, and people would say, well, it's a theory, the theory of evolution. And so now the scientific community has basically made theory synonymous with fact.
Right.
I'm not being sarcastic. Yeah. They've literally done that. Because
no, it's true. I know what you're talking about.
So, and they use where, like, when you read a scientific article, like I read one about black holes, and it said black holes can do this, and we think the black holes can do this, and the black holes should do this. Like, it's the wording. They're not saying black holes are real.
We believe
black holes can do this.
We believe XYZ. We feel that, you know, it's our opinion that, you know.
Our researchers have found that. So it kind of made me sad because I adore black holes. They don't break physics. I think there's just laws of physics that we haven't found yet, that we haven't discovered, because God doesn't break his rules. I mean, he does, but he made the laws of physics for a reason.
Right.
And I don't think he would create something that would just randomly, willy-nilly break it.
I love talking about stuff like that, knowing that God is behind it, you know, knowing that whatever they find, whether it be fact or theory or whatever, there's some stuff they're just not going to be able to understand because they take away the creator. They take away, they see like what they see, but they always have trouble with, well, we don't know where it came from or where it started.
I know exactly where it came from.
Exactly. It's like, well, there's this person you should meet. His name is Jesus. He happens to be God, and he created all this. Well, when you look at things like black holes and the speed of light, it's easy to become very fascinated with, like, wow, God is huge and he's awesome.
And that's why I love studying this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's so I like to have my noodle baked. That's one of my dad and I's favorite things to do. We love to have our noodle baked. And, like, we'll sit there and we'll talk about things. And, I think it was the Hubble telescope or another telescope. But it peered as far as it could at a certain spot in space, right?
Mm-hmm.
They found a section of space. I think it's a few billion light years across or something like that. That should have a certain number of galaxies in it, like trillions, and it has like way less. Like, it's just an empty spot in the observable universe.
Just because. Yeah.
They call it the super void.
Yeah.
And as radiation, when they look at the heat map of the universe, when radiation crosses that spot, it's cold. Like, super cold, which is understandable because there's not the heat of stars and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But still, it's just the hole. It's just the hole.
It's just there.
It's just a swath of space that should have this many galaxies, but it has, like, way less. I can't remember the exact numbers. I wish I could. But things like that, or, like, the Great Attractor.
You could state a number, and, like, I wouldn't know the difference.
But other people might. I don't want to be like, I don't want them to come to be like, hey, yeah, you were wrong, because...
Well, actually, Alyssa, it was.
And I'm that friend that goes, actually.
You're the one that would hear this and then, like, pause it and go fact check that. Which is, that's fine. That's okay. But
that's what I encourage people, like, don't just believe me. Go fact check it. Make sure I'm correct, because I could be wrong and I wouldn't know. And I would love for you to come and tell me that I'm wrong, as long as you do it politely.
Yes.
But there's something called the Great Attractor, because everything in the universe is moving. Like, the Earth is revolving, it's moving around the Sun, the Sun is revolving around the Milky Way is spinning and moving towards something at intensely high speeds. Like, the Andromeda Galaxy is doing the same thing. Everything, as far as the scientists can tell, is moving towards one spot, and we don't know what it is.
Jesus. It's all moving
probably,
toward Jesus.
Literally, probably. But
right,
they've tried to peer, because there's a section of space that we cannot see in because it's behind the disk, the center of the Milky Way. Because, like, where the core of the galaxy is, we can't see past that because it's so bright. We just can't. That's where the Great Attractor is. It's, like, past that, so we can't see it.
Hmm.
But everything is moving towards it. It's the great toilet of the universe. I don't know.
Wow. The great toilet of the universe. Okay.
I don't know why. And that's what I love. It's like, I don't know why. I want to find out.
You ought to do that. You ought to just go find out.
Let me just go into space on my Tesla.
Go into Tesla. You know? I mean, Elon will send you up. He will. Let's see. What was the next thing? Oh. The mystery of the ocean.
Love the ocean.
There's so
much. I'm terrified of it, but I also love it.
Here's the thing. I'm not going out there. because I've flirted with the idea of maybe going on a cruise one day, and I don't see it happening. I mean, because the ocean is so huge, It is so it's very dark. Like behind you, there's this map hanging on the wall, and we see the continents and we see all the land masses. Everything that's not that is ocean, and that blows my mind.
The ocean covers 75% of the Earth, and we've explored less than 10% of it.
And there's things out there that are big, and there's things that out there that would love to consume you and I.
Consume.
Yeah. Yes. And I just can't. I've been in the ocean. I was a young man, and I was stung by jellyfish. Have you ever been stung by a jellyfish?
No, and I don't want to.
What's the science behind that? It hurts really bad.
The science is that it hurts. No, jellyfish's tentacles, they have eeny, deeny, teeny, tiny.
Is it hooks?
No, it's not the hooks. They're cells. It's cells. That's the word I was looking for. I just kind of blanked. But they have little tiny cells on their tentacles, and each one has like a little harpoon type of thing, and it shoots out, and it's like a barb, and it shoots a toxin into your bloodstream.
It hurts really bad. Now, these were small jellyfish, thankfully, because I found it was me and my sister.
And don't ever pee on a jellyfish.
Yeah, don't do that.
People like, because I've seen it, like, or not seen it, but I've heard, like, if you want to cure a jellyfish sting or make it stop hurting, pee on it. You'll just make it worse. That's not going
to
help.
Yeah, there's got to be a better way. But
go to a doctor.
Yeah, probably seek medical attention. Anyway, yeah, we found ourselves like within a school of jellyfish, and we had to be rescued because we were just wee lads, and there we were. And then we spent the rest of the evening like going along the beach and like putting them in our little sandcastle buckets we had and as revenge.
You're not supposed to touch a jellyfish. Even a dead jellyfish
can sting
you.
We scooped it with like the little shovels. But we did the funny part is we did it like as revenge. Like, you stung us, we're gonna take you out of the water.
was just defending its home, and you killed it.
Which I shouldn't have been in the first place, which brings me back to my point. I shouldn't have been there. I'm not going back. I enjoy like sitting on the sand and like looking at the water. But the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, there is so much out there, and including Megalodon.
Yes.
He must be there somewhere.
He must be there, that 9-foot shark getting eaten.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. You want to talk about it?
So I don't know all the details, but I know enough to be intrigued. There was a group of scientists who went out and they were tagging sharks, as they do, for their studies and research and all that. And you can find this online. Very popular story. But they wound up tagging a 9-foot-long great white. And this great white went away, and it was living its life and doing its thing. And they eventually, you know, recovered the tag, which was, I guess these tags, they're designed to where they're on the shark for a certain period of time, and then they detach themselves, they float up, the scientists go retrieve them. Well, they go retrieve this tag, and they looked at the data, and from what I remember, the data showed that at some point, the tag showed that the shark was swimming at one level of depth, and then it just shot, like, straight to the bottom at a rapid pace. Then after that, the temperature rose significantly.
To, like, from 40-something to 70-something.
Right. Like, it was a huge leap in temperature. And it stayed that way for a few days, and then everything went back to normal. And what they say is that this shark was eaten by something. This 9-foot-long great white shark was eaten by something.
There's also the theory that the tag got bumped off and got eaten by a fish, but where did that fish come from? How could it just swim along and get it and take it? No, something came up from the bottom of the sea.
Grabbed the shark
and yoomed all the way down.
I've heard reports. I saw a recent video about this where they are now saying, at first they were like, we don't know what it was that could have eaten the shark. But now they're saying that it could have been just a bigger great white shark.
Oh, yes, because why not? Why not a giant great white shark?
I'm like, I don't think you understand my point. Either way, be it a just bigger great white or megalodon or a turtle or whatever, anything, something is out there that could eat a 9 foot long great white shark. That's bigger than me. So I don't go out there. It's number one on the list that me and Robbie talked about. We will never be attacked by a shark because we're not going to where he's at.
You're more likely to get, what was it? You're more likely to be in a plane crash or struck by lightning than bit by a shark.
I feel like, well, I don't disagree with that. But
unless you go like into the ocean and find a shark and like poke it with a stick, then you're going to beat the odds.
It's just something that is so avoidable.
It is.
Don't go to where they are. When you get on the bank, when you stay out of the water, your chances of being attacked by a shark decrease 100%.
And even if you went to like shallow water, it'll be fine. Just don't go any further.
No, there was that one guy that the videos on YouTube somewhere, he and another guy, they were like doing some kind of TV interview. And they were in, I think it was like just knee-deep water. Maybe it wasn't even knee-deep.
Oh, you know, I think I saw that, yeah.
And the bull shark came around.
Bull sharks are mean.
Yeah, the bull shark came around and like bit him on his calf.
I saw a video of a diver. There was like a diving crew and they were swimming along and a shark bit its butt.
That's unfortunate. Have you seen the chain link suits they have now?
Yeah.
Like that one guy got attacked by the shark and he invented this new diving suit that's like chain link. It's supposed to help.
It is.
But if something comes along and swallows you whole,
it's not going to help you.
So there's that. But yeah, there's a lot in the ocean.
There's a lot of things we don't know about the ocean and a lot of things that people try to explain. Like I spend a lot of time on YouTube. I really do. And I found this video. It was like the top five creepiest underwater recorded sounds. But like these sounds had been like floating around. Like I double checked them
floating.
And they're not. I got one in.
They've been floating around.
What are you doing?
See, that was wrong.
Just wave.
Someone just
stopped
listening.
My hands are tied.
Somebody like just stopped listening. They just turned it off and they were like, I'm not doing this.
No, but
if you've made it to this point of the podcast,
congratulations.
Comment, like, leave some type of...
water is not wet.
Water is not wet. Hashtag water is not wet.
There you go.
There you go.
But, so there was these different sounds, and they sound creepy. Like, any underwater sound sounds creepy, but these were, like, extra creepy. Like, there's something called the bloop, and you'd think it's just, like, this happy little bloop.
Bloop.
Exactly, because when you speed it up 16 times, it sounds like that. But when it's in its original speed, it's like howling.
It's the megalodon.
I don't think the megalodon would howl. I think it would have to be something with vocal cords. Like
sharks don't have vocal cords?
I don't think sharks don't have...
Google that. Let me Google that. Do sharks have... Emily, do sharks have vocal cords?
Oh, she's looking it up. Hang on.
One of us is going to get to it. Does sharks apparently, I don't know. Okay. You know what? I give up. You look it up.
Sharks don't have vocal cords, and no evidence has ever been gathered of sharks making vocal sounds.
That's true. Because think about all the shark documentaries you've watched. You've never heard a shark make a sound.
Exactly. So, it's a big mammal.
A mammal?
A mammal. Because you have to have air to pass over the vocal cords.
Could it be something else, though? Like,
there a lot of these sounds, the NCAA, the national something or another, I don't know. It's a government thing. They're official.
Good job. They're official.
They're official. They say it's just icebergs scraping the ocean floor or an iceberg breaking off or something like that.
I don't know.
A volcano erupting.
Oh, there's that.
Underground volcano, because that's just so much better.
Well, see, the problem that I find with that is, like, because it's underwater, it could be anything.
It could literally be anything.
It could be anything. And it's like, you know, especially in the ocean, you know, underwater, you can be in a pool. Have you ever heard yourself, like, underwater, like, in a pool? Just, like, open your mouth and, whatever. It sounds weird.
Yeah.
When you're in the ocean and you've got all the, there's no telling what it is.
But see, And there's another sound. It's called, they call it Julia. And this one literally sounds like a howl, like a beast is down there yelling. And it's heard seasonally, and it's heard by more than one location in the world.
Interesting.
I could probably find it.
Oh, dear.
And we could put it in the...
It's a... So the sound is named Julia?
They call the sound Julia. I don't know why. Maybe what? It's a guy's ex-girlfriend that he sounds like it. I don't know.
Theory. What if they know what's making the sound, and they've named that creature Julia?
Maybe.
What if it's...
That'd be interesting.
That would be...
But here's an actual proven sound. We know the cause of it. We know the... what it's making. It's called the 52 hertz whale, also known as the loneliest whale in the world, because
Dory.
No.
Dory speaks whale.
Find a song.
That's what it is. That's what that other sound is. It's Dory.
Can you find his song? But no, it's a whale, because most whale sounds are super, super low. Like, we can't hear them. They're so low. And that's mm-hmm. how whales communicate. This whale has a much higher call, and other whales can't hear it. So it's just swimming by itself in the ocean, calling out to whoever will listen, but nobody can listen because it's too high.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, well, well.
No. It's like every bad pun is good in its way.
Yeah, you're right.
Every pun is good.
Every bad pun.
And if you don't agree, then I will punish you.
Wow. Okay. That happened. The Punisher, after all.
The Punisher.
That's so sad about the whale.
I know.
That's
it is. Like, it's like, it's just, they don't know if it's because it's got a birth defect or.
So is it like a breed of whale, or is it
A singular whale. Like, that's the why it's the loneliest whale in the world, because it's by itself. And nobody can hear it. Like, other whales can't hear it because the call is too high for them to hear.
It's that whale from Finding Dory. It's the whale. The one that was in the thing in the aquarium. Anyway. She can't see very well. Well. What? What's Emily saying? I can't see behind me. Emily is sitting behind me.
I don't know
what she's saying.
She's trying to sign to me.
Is she using sign language?
B. O. No, A. B. A. I. No, it's not a baleen whale.
Baleen whale? I don't know what's happening right now. I feel kind of left out because I can't turn it on.
I don't know what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Emily. Okay.
The whale is Bailey.
Bailey.
Oh.
It's Bailey? I thought it was like Daisy or something like
Bailey,
that.
Bailey, 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 Bailey.
Oh. Is the whale, is it Bailey?
Yeah.
Okay, Emily says
we've learned something new today.
So, on the subject of things in the water, flounders are legit. You don't know what a flounder is?
I think I do. Is it those wide fishies?
Well, yeah, but that's not what's special about them. Flounders lay, like, they have both of their eyes on one side of their
body. Oh, that's
body.
Right.
And the, yeah, there's, and we don't have to talk about this at length, because, like, how much can you say about flounders? But that was just something I thought of.
Floundering.
Oh dear. that was unfortunate.
Why are they? Do you see them? Like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
Let me see what you're looking at. Oh, well, that's no, that's a weird looking one. They're coolest when they're just laying there in their environment.
Imagine that swimming towards you. Because here's the thing about the ocean. I wouldn't mind it if I could see.
Right.
But it's just blue. Like, you're out in the deep ocean. It's just blue
and cloudy.
So you don't see something until it's within like 10 feet of you.
You know what else?
Like, you're just sitting there swimming, and then this sudden this shark just comes. I don't like it.
You know what else is blue and cloudy? The sky.
I was gonna say your face.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know.
The sky.
The sky. You're right.
I mean, but only during the day. Blue and cloudy.
No.
The sky is not blue at night. Think about that. Why is that? Have you ever?
Oh, yeah, because of the light scattering.
Right. Yeah, that's why. Now, okay.
So does that mean, oh, yeah, I never thought about that, because we're seeing the sky as it actually is, because there's no sun to distort it.
That's right. you just had your mind blown. That's awesome.
I didn't think about that.
Now, I've been wanting to get to this question the whole time. And for those listening, just hear us out. You know, this is just, we're just having a good time here today. This is, oh, speaking of that, I want to address something real quick. I've had some people ask, like they listened to the first episode with me and Robbie, and then they heard the one of me and Tyler, where we're talking about food and all that. And they were like, well, how is this encouraging? Quick disclaimer. Not all of these are supposed to be or are intended to be like, you know, spiritual interviews. We are going to have fun like we are today, but it's all clean. That's the point, is like you don't have to turn it away afraid that someone's going to start cussing or anything like that. So,
wholesome.
Yeah, they're not all intended to be necessarily, you know, encouraging. Sometimes it's just going to be good, clean fun like we are having today. With that being said.
Like the way I ran into the door earlier.
That was hilarious. That was so funny. You have been warned. Okay, so with that being said, what is your stance on Bigfoot?
Okay, here's the thing. I don't doubt that there's an animal, land animal, that we haven't seen. But the amount of proof that we have that Bigfoot exists is easy-beasy. It's itty-bitty. Because when you can show me a picture of Bigfoot that doesn't look like it was taken on a flip phone, then I will consider it. But every picture that I see of Bigfoot looks like a guy in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, it's like any other cryptid. Like, there's a cryptid called a hide behind that is in folklore, that it hides behind things and it can contort its body. That's, to me, that's what Bigfoot belongs to, is cryptids. Animals that can't be proven to exist, but people still believe in them.
The only problem with that, let me explain my position. And, you know, people are probably like, really, right now? Just hear me out. I'm not saying yes or no. Here's what I will say right off the bat. When I say Bigfoot, I do not mean, like some people, when I say Bigfoot, they mean like the missing link between man and monkey, like half ape, half man, walking around. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an ape, like a Gigantopithecus style ape. I said style. I meant type. R.I.P. R.I.P. May he rest in peace. But like a, because Gigantopithecus used to be a thing. You know, that is a fact. So I'm not talking about any kind of mix with man. Like, God does not do that. I'm talking about an animal that may or may not exist, that is elusive, that is obviously has a level of intelligence just like any other monkey does, and that, like I said, may or may not exist. Here's my thinking on it. My thinking is, like, again, pointing to the map behind you, all that land. What if there's 12? You know, like, what if they're like a super extinct, or like, you know, endangered? I said extinct. It's super endangered, almost extinct, but highly intelligent ape that is not seen because there's only like 12 in the world. And I realize people say, well, you know, nobody has ever found a body. You know, okay, well, there's like how many thousands of like black bear and other animals in the world? And how often do you see, like, you know, a black bear skeleton?
True.
You know?
True.
So let's just say, what if there's 12, or even like, you know, in thinking about the world, the size of the world, what if there's 50 and they don't want to be seen? But the problem is, because of like the myth and like the folklore around that thing, put yourself in a position to where you're just minding your own business and you see one. Now you are in that group of people who you're either going to say something and be ridiculed, or you can't say anything, but you know what you saw. It's kind of like a...
But I would have a smartphone and take a picture of it.
But would you, though? Because here's what happened the other day. Sarah and I were on our way somewhere. Now, this is not a Bigfoot story. This is of an animal, like a... we saw a Florida panther. It's basically a cougar. Well, she saw it. I didn't see it. We both have $1,000 smartphones that we are still paying for that have the ability to shoot 4K, 60 frames per second video. We did not get a picture. We did not get a video, but she saw it. We were going, it was on Highway 63, and I so happened to, like, peek over at her, and she said, "You see that?" And I was like, "What?" And she begins to describe, she's like, "I just saw a huge cat across the road in front of us, the highway." And I was like, "Well, what did it look like?" She described it, and it was like a Florida panther.
Did you know panthers are the biggest cat that can still purr?
I did not know that. That is useless information.
That's what I'm feeling.
But no, like, suspects. But do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I see.
We saw that. We both had our phones. We were both there, but we have zero proof. So what if you are just so happen to be driving down the road and, like, one crosses the road? You're like, "I know that I just saw that, but I have zero proof, and now I can't tell anybody, but now I believe everybody's story that I've heard so far." You know what I'm saying? It really puts you, like thinking about that. It really puts you in a interesting place mentally. Me and Robbie recently came to a, we have an agreement. Because we were talking about this. Because it's interesting to think about, you know. I told him, I said, "Robbie, if I ever come to you and I'm serious as I can be and tell you that I've seen a Bigfoot, whether I have evidence or not, you can believe that that is a fact, and I have seen it." He said, "Okay."
So now you have that pact?
Huh?
You have like a pact now?
We have like a pact. I said, I'm not going to come to you and try to fool you and say, "You know, Robbie, I saw a Bigfoot, you know," and like play it on, and then, you know, just kind of some people forget to explain that they were joking. And then things become like, "You remember all those years ago when you saw that Bigfoot?" It's like, "Oh, I was kidding. You know, I forgot to tell you about that." I said, "No, if I ever come to you and tell you this, you believe that." And he said, "Okay, same goes for me." So, I don't know.
I guess if thinking in those terms, I suppose it's plausible. I mean, anything's plausible, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's kind of like the chupacabra, though. It's like it kills things. You see the things that it's killed. You see the goats that are dry of blood, but nobody ever sees the animal. So I guess like it could just be an elusive creature.
But see, like with the chupacabra, when you hear the descriptions of that, that sounds like otherworldly, like something that we can't really relate it to. Bigfoot would be just an ape.
Yeah.
And there, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, I just kicked your foot. I'm going to tell you a video that I've seen, and I'm not saying it's real, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just going to tell you what I saw. This is a video of a guy up in Tupelo, Mississippi, not far from here. It's not close, but I mean, you know, it's not like over in California. Tupelo, Mississippi, and he's hunting, and he is waiting on hogs to come out at a certain time of the evening. And he's sitting there, and he hears, like, things breaking, like, you know, the sound of branches and all this. So he pulls out his phone and he starts videoing. And the reason I love this video so much is because if you did not know the context, if you didn't know that what you're watching is allegedly a Bigfoot sighting, you know, and that this claim was being made.
Unbiased, right. If you're watching it unbiased.
If you're just watching it unbiased, you would say this is clearly a video of a gorilla sitting down and tearing, like, you know how they'll, like, tear parts off of trees and they'll, like, get the insects and all the worms and stuff? That's what it's doing. Because it's sitting down. It looks like an ape. Like, it looks like a gorilla. Yeah, that's all it looks like. The problem comes when it stands up and it's, like, 7 feet tall.
Oh, no.
And this guy takes off running. He takes off running, like, because at first he's videoing it, and he doesn't really say or do anything. He's just videoing it. But, like, there's a particular part in this video where this thing, person, man, whatever's happening, he goes to tear off a piece of the tree, and it doesn't come. So he just, like, bows up on it and breaks it off, and it's literally like a man-sized piece of the tree that he just breaks off like it's nothing. And I'm like, that is very believable. Because you can hear everything. It wasn't like somebody didn't cut it off and stick it there. You hear it breaking. And I'll have to show you this video later. But I don't know. All I'm saying is that I don't think it's anything like people want it to be, like half man, half ape, blah, blah, blah.
But it's just a big gorilla.
Yeah, it's just a primate.
I guess thinking of it in that terms, I would be able to believe it.
I don't know. And again, disclaimer, because some people are like, okay, he's crazy. He believes in Bigfoot. I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying I don't. All I'm saying is...
it's possible.
Yeah, it's possible. You can get in a plane in certain parts of even America, and you can fly for like 6 hours and see nothing but trees beneath you. There's no way we've discovered every animal out there.
Speaking of trees.
Oh, goodness.
I don't.
You don't like trees?
No, I enjoy being out in forests, but I don't enjoy spending the night in forests.
Oh, I'm not going to do it.
Because this is why. When I was younger, my family was going to go camping, and mom and dad took the stuff, and they were going to go early and set it up, spend the night, because they wanted some, like, mom and dad time. And then we would come up the day after. So they get there, and the next day, we get a call. We're like, oh, you know, we're coming home. We're not going to camp. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, why? And they told the story where they were in the tent. It's pitch black outside, and they hear screaming, like, blood curdling sounds of like a woman being tortured in the woods. Now, it's probably a panther or a cougar. Well, panthers and cougars are the same thing. But because panthers, their mating call is screeching. Like, yeah. It's if you didn't know it was an animal, you would think it was a kidnapped woman getting mm-hmm. hurt.
Oh yeah, I've heard it.
So we didn't go camping, and that's why I don't. But, see, there had been reports of cultist sightings and things mm-hmm. going on in the woods. So that's why we didn't go camping. And I don't enjoy camping anymore because of that story. I don't like the dark. I'm still scared of the dark. I'm 17, and I'm still scared of the dark. I sleep with the night light on. If I can, I'll sleep with the bathroom light on, too. Unashamedly afraid of the dark.
Okay.
So I don't... I enjoy the woods in the daytime, but as soon as it gets dark, I'm ready to go home.
I feel that. I understand that. I've been lost in the woods before, and it really messed me up for a long time. Like, seriously, I was totally terrified of the dark, terrified of being in the woods. I would be, like, literally in a tree hunting, and as soon as the sun was about to go down, I would just go ahead and get down. I'm not going to be out here in the dark.
Well, that's how people get murdered in horror movies, is that one stupid person that's out in the woods poking around where they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen any, but I assume that's what happens.
Probably what happens. Well, I mean, you can't live in this culture and not know a little bit about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good reason not to go out there. And I'm just going to be honest with you. All the people are like, oh, I want to go camping. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want a nice hotel room with a fluffy bed, fluffy sheets.
And go walking in the woods in the daytime.
I want to stay in the hotel room. I want it to be 60 degrees, and I want to lay there for a prolonged period of time.
And not get judged.
Uninterrupted and not be judged, yes. No, I do like to go do certain things in the woods. I don't like doing it if it's hot, though. Like, if it's hot, I'm not going to do it.
But see, in New Mexico, like, in the mountains in New Mexico, it's never, almost never hot.
I feel that, yeah, you're
especially
right.
If you go, like, in the fall, there'll be snow up there.
Yes.
And I went sledding one time.
Really?
Once. It was with my youth group, and I nearly died.
Oh.
Because when the hills that we were, there were really no, like, specified sledding spots. You just found a hill and started to sled on it. And it was me and my youth group, and we all had those, you know, those sleds, they're like discs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like the,
I've seen
like
those.
The bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Lissa, you need to try it. And I'm like, okay. And so I go to do it. And I'm going down the hill, and I'm headed straight for one of those grill things that stick up out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Headed straight for it. So my youth pastor, acting as quick as he did, kicked the sled to the side. And in the process, he hyperextended his ankle.
No.
He was always hurting himself. My old youth pastor was constantly hurting himself. And his wife would be furious. Not furious. She would just be done. She's like, ugh, we got to go to the hospital now. But, yeah, he saved my life. Because if not, I would have hit that thing. Because I was going head first.
Yeah.
And I would have smacked that thing like head on.
And it would have caused problems.
It would have caused a lot of problems. So that was the only time that I had ever sledded. Never again.
Thank you for slamming the table.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, we need to wrap this up. We could talk about science things forever. I feel smarter.
Science.
Do you feel smarter?
Yes.
I'm just glad we talked about Bigfoot. I'm just really glad we talked about Bigfoot. Bigfoot is going to make another appearance on this show eventually. Because I want to get Brother Trey.
Are you saying you're going to bring Bigfoot as a guest? And
he is a personal friend, yes. And I'm going to bring him. And no, but we're going to talk about him again because it's just interesting. Like the thought, like what if one day, like they do find one, and it's like it was all true. It's like kind of bittersweet, you know. But I don't know. It's just fascinating. Brother Trey has a sticker on the back of his BMW that says "Squatch Life."
But wait, isn't the Sasquatch different than Bigfoot?
No.
Are they the same?
Yeah, they're the same. Okay. You're thinking of the Yeti. And or the abominable snowman, as some people call him. Anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of The Table. So thank you so much for being here, Alyssa. And thank you so much, dear listener, for listening.